Good morning. It is 36 degrees on this sunshiny Wednesday, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. Glad to have you with us on Palmetto Mornings here on WRHIFM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Patty Mercer.
And I'm Lucas McFadden.
You know, Lucas, we were talking a little earlier about just the impact of COVID and the increase of alcoholic beverages. Mm-hmm. Alcoholism is one of the biggest public health crises in the United States today, and it's only increased with COVID-19. It's been this way for generations. I mean, you can look at movies and see the cultural impact of what it is to drink a martini, have a brewski with your buddy. But we also know that alcoholism is an addiction, and it can pivot and take over your life. We also love to know that you can overcome that by finding a solution and living with your addiction. Our guest this morning, Michael Blanchard, nearly became one of those statistics who lost that fight with alcohol. But he's here to talk to us about his journey and what it is like and what we should know going forward. Good morning, Michael.
Hi, Patty. How are you this morning?
Doing well. I am just, I love your story. Of course, you were a successful Fortune 500 CEO, your family man. Nobody would have ever expected or suspected that you were using alcohol to deal with your life. Why don't you start there and tell us your story about how? When was that pivot? When did it stop becoming kind of a social part of your life into something that was taking your life?
Well, it's funny because I was a marathon runner. And way back when, I thought, you know, you'd be immune if you were a health nut, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you get hooked on the endorphins, and it come to find out a lot of athletes that, you know, as they deteriorate with old age like me, you end up substituting one thing for the other. And for me, it was a gradual, imperceptible move over the years. You know, some people drink alcohol, and with the first drink, they're off to the races. And, you know, there's actually three or four types of alcoholism. Mine was this imperceptible, gradual move towards the abyss. But, you know, what was funny this morning, and I was thinking just to characterize things, if you got 15 minutes to try to get to somebody to give them some sign of hope, I'm out here on Martha's Vineyard. In fact, it's 36 degrees here this morning, so we're twins. and it's like summertime here. I was so excited, so I took my camera, which is my healing device. Mm-hmm. And I took off to South Beach because it was humid this morning, and then I was sitting on the beach, and I took a couple of pretty cool pictures that I put out on social media. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, 8:10 a.m. I'm on a radio show this morning at 8:10 a.m. What was I doing 12 years ago at that time? It wouldn't be unusual for me as a chief operating officer. This was just before my downfall, is that in the morning I'd get my tie on. I'd put my sport coat on, tie my dress shoes. And in the end, in the last 6 to 12 months before I crashed with DUIs, I would drink vodka. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be unusual to add vodka to coffee. Don't ever try vodka and coffee in the morning. It's not good. It just takes away from the flavor.
Yeah.
If I didn't have vodka in the morning, I would often drink Scope.
Wow.
So, you know, imagine a COO with 1,000 employees. I'd get up just trying to figure out how could I get through the day. And, you know, I'm sure there are people on your station right now that are listening that may be in the same place. I kind of took it to the ultimate extreme. But there are so many people that woke up this morning and they may not have enough heat or money. COVID has made the stress level just off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And alcohol has never solved a single problem.
Right.
The only problem it solved for me is that I had my driver's license taken away. That was the only.
Yeah. Well, Michael.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, you bring up the fact that there are different types of alcoholism. And we tend to focus on the genetic component that you may be predisposed to alcohol, to addiction before you take your first drink. But we don't really talk about what you're describing, which is sort of something that happened gradually over time. I'm curious as to how old you were. When did you start drinking? And when did you suddenly, obviously there was a biological, a physical addiction, as well as a mental addiction, if your body was craving it so much that you were willing to drink scope just for that little bit of alcohol hit. So what? 12 years in since you've overcome and you've been on your journey, but how old were you when you started, and at what point did you become physically addicted?
That's a good question, because I was running marathons at 25, 26, 27 years old. Through my 30s, with the stress of work, I wasn't happy about my chosen path. And I started to sedate with a glass of wine here and there in my late 20s and then through the 30s. But, you know, I'd run 70, 80 miles a week. Then I went through a divorce and I started drinking fairly heavy. I remember in my 30s, I went to a physician and said, you know, after I run 12 miles in the morning, I feel dizzy. And he says, are you drinking alcohol? And I said, yeah, maybe a glass or two at night. And in fact, many of those nights, it was much more than that. And my body was dehydrated, and but I kept bouncing back and forth. It wasn't like I was going to have the shakes in the morning if I didn't drink. It just became an ingrained part of my life as I went through my 30s and 40s, and it was gradual. And I think that's the sneaky part for many people that creates the doubt in their minds. I'm not an alcoholic, you know. I drink just as much as my next door neighbor. Of course, it's fine to have two or three glasses of wine at night. And for many people, it is. But for me, the addiction was that routine. And I don't think I could eventually get through an evening without drinking something, even though I could argue to another rational person that a couple of glasses of wine weren't meaningful, right?
Right.
But for me it was, and I think that's a question that a lot of folks have to ask themselves. It's there are a number of criteria where you jump into the category of clinical alcoholism, and you have to meet those criteria, which usually lead, you know, somewhere in the area of legal problems. Has it created concern in your family? There's the DSM criteria for making a diagnosis of alcoholism goes over a set of questions where you seem to have transitioned from just an internal issue to something that's affecting all aspects of your life.
So you lost your marriage, you lost your driver's license, you were committed to a psychiatric hospital. You obviously found information that helped you redirect your passion and find your love for living. You picked up a camera, started taking pictures, and now you actually have a book, Through the Lens.
Yeah, absolutely. Through a Sober Lens. You know, and my goal in all of this is, what happened is I ended up getting arrested for drunk driving three times in 3 months. And then I purchased Xanax on the internet, and I was in the process of consuming those together with the vodka to end it. And I ended up heading off to a psychiatric hospital because they were worried that I was going to end it. And I met a gentleman there. It was a medical director who looked at me one day as I was laying in the bed, and he said, I am you. He says, I'm going to tell this to you as the medical director that a number of years ago I had a blood alcohol of 600 and I was on life support and I almost didn't make it. And he said, I made it and you can make it too. And in that moment, I don't know how to describe it, but it's when someone who's authentic can look at you and tell you something to come out of their safe space, it changes your energy. And in that moment, I said, if I ever have a chance to be authentic for somebody else, that's what my mission's going to be, if I can possibly make it back from this. And sobriety was not easy in the beginning. I was just hanging on, and it was kind of miserable. Then one night, I heard a speech about a bipolar alcoholic businessman who discovered peace and connection through the editing and taking of photos. And for some reason, I tuned in for that 1 second, and it just stuck in my head, even though I hated cameras and had no creative ability. And I just started looking at videos and how to use a camera. And one thing led to another, and I started practicing. And then suddenly something happened. When I was sitting out there, I felt a connection to a spiritual energy I couldn't describe. And I also bumped into people, and my photos became part of their story. And my photos became a connection with other individuals, and it helped pull me out of isolation. And so at night, instead of dreading, 5 to 9 o'clock at night, where you were just trying to white knuckle it, go to AA meetings and try to make it through the evening so you could go back to work the next day without drinking, I found the evening my playground. I'd look out the window and see these amazing clouds, and I couldn't wait to get to the beach to take pictures. And I can't tell you how meaningful that was for me to transition a relapse period of the day where you just hate the evenings, you just want to go to bed to make it through, to being my absolute love time of the day.
And wonderful.
It saved me in so many cases.
That is such an awesome story. Michael, I'm sorry, we're up against a hard break, but tell us, where do we find your book?
If you go on Amazon or Target, just look for Through a Sober Lens. It's there for $15, lots of pictures and words of wisdom.
Fantastic. Michael Blanchard, thank you for sharing your story and continuing to help others find their way. And we just wish you all the very best. Have a great day.
All right. You too, guys. Thank you.